Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Kia ora koutou. Welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air. My name is David and I'm an alcoholic and chair of today's meeting, brought to you on Wellington Access Radio 106 FM. We open AA meetings with the Serenity Prayer and I invite you to join me. God, grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Today our guests are from the Miramar Sunday Reflections Group. Could I ask you please to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Dave, definitely an alcoholic.
Hey, Dave.
I'm Layla, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, I'm James. I'm James, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, James. Well, I'd like to ask James if he could read how it works from the big book pages 58 to 60.
Yeah, I can do that. I'm James, alcoholic.
James.
How it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are conditionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories are closed in a general way that we used to be like what happens and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we barked, we thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas and the result has been nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God and as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles to all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything such perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down our guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and the personal adventures of before and after make sure they're permanent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have revealed our alcoholism. See that God could and would if he were sought.
Thanks, James. Now, as this is Saturday the 15th of November, could I ask Dave, please, to read this day from the Daily Reflections?
Yeah, I'm Dave, definitely an alcoholic, and the Daily Reflections is one of the tools we use during our sobriety, among others that we've learned in our time in AA. So today's reading is Vital Sustenance. Those of us who come to make a regular use of prayer would no more do without it than we would refuse air, food, or sunshine. And for the same reason, when we refuse air, light, or food, the body suffers. When we turn away from meditation and prayer, we likewise deprive our minds, our emotions, and our institution and our intuitions of vitally needed support. That's from the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 97. Step 11, which is this month, doesn't have to overwhelm me. Conscious contact with God can be as simple as and as profound as conscious contact with another person. I can smile, I can listen, I can forgive. Every encounter with another is an opportunity for prayer, for acknowledging God's presence within me. Today I can bring myself a little closer to my higher power. The more I choose to seek the beauty of God's work in other people, the more certain of his presence I become.
Thanks, Dave. And this is the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air, coming from Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. If you'd like to contact Alcoholics Anonymous, you can get us through the phone number or the website. The phone number is 0800 AA Works, which is 0800 229 6757, and our website is aa.org.nz. Now, we run the AA on air meeting like your regular AA meeting, and we'll ask one of the people here to share. I might go in reverse order. Can I start with you, James?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Cool. I'm James. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, James.
I like today's reading. It's, you know, prayer and meditation, I feel, is important. With prayer, I try and set myself up in the morning with praying in the morning once I get up. And actually reading the daily reflection, and it just keeps me just focused with God, really, and just kind of start the morning with handing over, and I can't live my life doing things on my own, doing my own way of thinking, and it sets me up to fail, and this is where you're having a higher power. It helps to I'm not on my own here, and you know, I can hand over and surrender. And you know, what I mean by surrender is just letting go and just be like, look, I can't handle what's going on my own right now. And you know, and asking for help and asking for, you know, like if I'm lost and what decision to make. And you know, I find after a while, kind of waiting for a bit, that the answer comes. And you know, if I go into a situation that I know it's going to be difficult, I I've been taught to say from my sponsor, of you know, God's got this. You know, I go into the situation and just be like, look, I just need this support here. I know God's got this, and I just go into it, and I just do the best I can, you know. And it just takes that, so it just takes that pressure off, you know. And it just, you know, yeah. And I try and keep it simple like that, really. I haven't meditated for long term in the past. I don't at the moment. I kind of go through periods of starting and stopping. But you know, when I do it, I'm more focused on a connection with my higher power during the day, and it's something that I know works, and I'm not the most disciplined on it. You know, I started drinking kind of late to others. Like, I started about 19. I spent a number of years in and out of psychiatric wards in my teens. And when I got out, then I discovered drinking. And, you know, for me, when I came out of hospital, I think it was the whole year, spent a whole year in the psych ward before I came out. And you know, I'd never really worked before. I didn't have any friends anymore. Never flattered before. You know, I had all these skills that, you know, well, I didn't have all these skills. I didn't know how to do these things. And when I discovered alcohol, then it just all changed. You know, I worked in pubs. I was friends with people that drank like me. You know, I lived with people that drank like me, and it just seemed like the solution to me. And it's just like, it was fun, you know. I drank at the weekends, and it was a lot of fun until it wasn't, you know. I never had relationships with my family, really, or I treated women horribly. You know, I just wasn't a nice guy at all. And you know, the life that I was living, I thought it was okay. And I, you know, if I was kind of angry and resentful during the week, and it was because of work, and I, you know, then I just kind of have my release at the weekend and just kind of drank it away, and then just kind of rinse and repeat. Just did the same thing the week after. I mean, I came into AA when, you know, because last kind of 8 months of my drinking was just horrific. I just lost everything. I couldn't talk my way out of it. I didn't know what to do. You know, I couldn't hold a job. I got kicked out of flats. I was in a toxic relationship with a girl that I caused. And then my parents stopped talking to me. And then that was it for me. You know, it was more about I didn't know what to do and thought about myself more than really what was going on. Yeah, you know, when my dad stopped talking to me, I was thinking, well, why am I going to get this extra money he was giving me every week, you know? And just like, what, you know what? And after a while, I thought, I can't live like that. And I don't want to be that person. Then I kind of thought, well, you know, I can't live without him and my brother, you know? And even though I didn't have a great relationship with him, that was it for me. That was just like that was the line. And so I came into AA, and you know, it took me a long time to get sober. I was smoking pot for quite a while, but then, and that was because I didn't really want to do the work. And I figured out if I did that, I just didn't. I could still hold a job, and if I went to meetings, but I was just miserable still. You know, there was no big change. But I could see where people in AA, you know, things did change for them. They did have a life. You know, that's all I wanted when I come in. I just wanted a life, but I didn't really know how to do it and didn't really want to. And I just made it more difficult for myself. And I think when I meet people who have smoked marijuana in AA, or I just mentioned in AA, I find I find it useful, because I find people come up to me afterwards and they're like, oh, I didn't know that, you know, I thought I could still do it, or, you know, I didn't understand it, you know, and I just find, you know, that's my story, and it's not about alcohol completely, but it's something that I did to escape still, you know, and yeah, and so, you know, after a while I did get sober, and I surrendered, because I just had enough of this. I know if I go back, it's just going to get worse. I've been around long enough to hear, you know, what happens, and, you know, normally what I kind of notice, and what I notice now, and it's quite common, is if people go out drinking again, it's normally that they have stopped going to meetings. If you stop going to meetings, I find, I've done it briefly, that you kind of forget you're an alcoholic, or you're not. You stop kind of talking to your sponsor and other things, and it's just back to yourself, and that's what I hear where people come back. It's the number one thing, you know, that they stop going to meetings, and that's one thing I don't do. I go to regular meetings, you know. I've got a sponsor I talk to. I do these steps that was spoken about before, and, you know, and it's, I just do these regular things, because I don't want to go back. I just don't want to go back. You know, now things are different. You know, I can hold a job, and I married an incredible lady, and you know, I got relationships with my parents and my family, and I just went away to Australia with my two brothers. You know, all those things wouldn't have happened. You know, I couldn't do it on my own. You know, and there's one thing that I remember with me when I drank. I just didn't care. I just didn't care. I really didn't care about anyone, and so. That's one thing I'm really pleased that that's not the case anymore, and that I've got a life, and it's something that I'm quite proud of, you know. And you know, this works. It just does, and it can take time. And you know, all I did was I kept coming, and eventually I got sober. You know, all I kept doing is just kept coming. Even though I wasn't sober for quite a number of years, but I always kept coming to a meeting. And I'm really pleased I did that, you know. So, yeah, thanks for asking me to share.
Thanks, James. Yes, look, I'm Dave. Again, I'm an alcoholic too. The point you mentioned, James, about keeping on coming to meetings, I've found that I've heard a lot of people say that they, you know, came to meetings, that they got sober, they stayed sober, they felt really good, and they thought, oh, they didn't need to AA anymore, and they could just go off and do their own thing. And then they would find something would happen, like, you know, mates would say, you know, why not have a drink? You know, one can't hurt. And they'd think, well, after all these years, how can one hurt me? And so they have one, and then they're just away again like that. It seems to be sort of a pattern there. And the people who have been to AA, got sober, then gone away, and then come back again, say that the way to stay sober is just to keep on, you know, coming to the meetings. And so you meet people at our meetings who've, you know, been sober for a week, a month, a year, but then, you know, 5 years, 10 years, you know, 20. There's a couple I know, 30 years, they've been coming to meetings, and they say that's why they've been sober all that time. And the inspiration that they give to newcomers too, to show that you can, you know, you can stay sober, you know, with the help of AA, is really good. Well, just to as a reminder, this is the AA meeting on air on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you'd like to contact AA, you could try our phone number, which is 0800 AA Works. Or 0800 229 6757, and you go to our website, which has an enormous amount of material. It's got, you know, a list of all the meetings everywhere in the country, and there's meetings everywhere, every day, all over the country. Lots of information that can help people who either have a drinking problem or think they have a drinking problem. You know, you can really find just about everything you want to know about alcoholism on our website, which is aa.org.nz. I'll say that again, aa.org.nz. Right, can we now ask Layla to share, please?
Sure. I'm Layla, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Layla.
It's good to be here today. And yeah, there's lots of James's experience that is similar to mine. But yeah, I was thinking about that reading about kind of prayer and kind of connection to spirituality, and it made me think about myself in my drinking. And I was someone who was very anti all that kind of thing. I thought that people who were religious were stupid. You know, I thought they were relying on this thing that wasn't there. And at one point, my two sisters actually came into an organized religion, and I was really cruel to them. You know, I sort of teased them and, was really nasty about it. And all the time, you know, I had my own dependence, which was alcohol. You know, that was the thing that I had to have. You know, that was the thing that got me through. And, you know, I started drinking at a very young age, at about 12. And it was just this amazing escape. You know, I remember the first time I got drunk, even though there was a lot of drama, you know, the police came and all of these things happened. I felt, that night, I felt the same as everyone else. You know, all these other teenagers were all there together and we were all drinking and I was funny, you know, I was, you know, talking to people and I was not that kind of person naturally. You know, I was nervous and afraid and shy and I would just sit on my own most of the time. You know, I couldn't do that social stuff of myself. But when alcohol came along, it was amazing. You know, it just changed everything. So if it could have just stayed like that, you know, where I just felt good and could get up the next morning and have a normal life, it might have been quite a nice thing to use. But as an alcoholic, I wanted more, you know, and I needed more to get that same effect. And for me, I always had this kind of what I think of as like a quite a crazy head. Like I had a lot of thinking in my head about lots of different things. I thought about what I looked like. I thought about what people thought of me, just so many things. And I would wake up in the morning and it was on, you know, ironically in a radio station, it was like a radio, you know, just all this stuff in my head. And I, you know, when I got into drinking and those kind of things, I would surround myself with people to kind of drown out that noise. So we lived in this house in Somerset in England, and I had lots of parties in the house. You know, I had all these people around, and I never wanted them to leave. You know, I never wanted the party to end, because when it did, it was all that stuff in my head was there. You know, that was all I could hear. And I used to have these times, you know, even though I didn't believe in anything, where it was just too much. And I would leave the house and go into the fields in Somerset where I lived. And I would just lie on the field, you know, I would just lie on the field and just close my eyes. And just for like 5 minutes or whatever I was lying there, I had this feeling of peace, you know, and I didn't know where it came from, but I just... It was amazing, you know, it was this amazing feeling. And then I would trot back to my life and it would all start again, all that craziness. And I do believe today that something was there, you know, something, you know, whatever you believe in. But I was drinking and at the time taking drugs as well, you know, so I just couldn't have any kind of peace long term. So for me, I thankfully got sober when I moved to New Zealand. It was the final kind of running away for me. I moved over here and thought I'd start again and get new friends and kind of rejuvenate as I always try to do, but I just could not do it anymore. And I remember walking down the streets in Wellington and I thought people were following me. You know, I had this intense paranoia by that stage. And nobody knew me in Wellington. I was a complete new person. But the paranoia was just huge. And I went to a meeting out in Lower Hutt. And they were all different kind of people, different ages, like different jobs, I guess. But I remember sitting in that meeting and people shared what they shared and they laughed and they talked about their husbands and just stories. And I just felt completely at home in that meeting. And there was a feeling of peace and kind of connection. And it was like that feeling of that very first drunk that I felt when I got drunk with those teenagers and I felt the same as them. You know, I finally had found what I needed. And it was really frightening. I was only 25. And I thought, I don't want to stop drinking. I don't want to, even though life was terrible, I had this sort of fantasy in my head about how it could be. But I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't carry on life as it was. I'd run away from my life. I couldn't get a job. I was lying to everyone. I used to steal from people. I did all the things that I would have told myself I would have never done. I had done them. So I just started coming to meetings and I've been coming ever since. And funnily enough, I did start meditation in AA at a time when my physical health was really bad. And it really helped me just to relax and just think about something other than myself. And I have continued doing it. I've slacked a bit recently, but pretty much I've done it every day for the last 20 years. And it's, yeah, I couldn't do that or any of the things I've got today without AA. Yeah, I'm married to James. We got married in AA, and I've had my job for a number of years. I get up in the morning and I don't wonder where I am. So all these things are a real gift that I've got from AA. Thank you.
Thanks, Layla.
Thanks, Layla.
And this is Alcoholics Anonymous on the Air, brought to you on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. And just to give you the numbers and contact details for Alcoholics Anonymous again, our phone number is 0800 229 6757. It's 0800 229 6757. You'll find there'll be somebody there who can take your call 7 days a week and put you on to an AA member, you know, close to you. So if you're somebody from, you know, Wellington and you call that number and you say you live here or there, you'll be able to, you know, find a decent ear to listen to you on the phone and to put you in touch with an AA meeting. And the website, which, as I said before, has lots and lots of information, is aa.org.nz. Just aa.org.nz. Now, if we can ask the other Dave here if he could share with us, please.
This morning, listeners, I'm Dave, definitely an alcoholic. I kind of introduced myself a little bit different to my friends on my left here, that I'm definitely an alcoholic because I finally found out what I am. Finally, and with that, I was able to do something in the end once I found it. And it's funny, you have to go really low to reach that point, or I did anyway, before I was desperate enough to do something about it. The same old things have been happening time and time again, and not very proud of it, but the people I hurt the most were the ones I loved. And I started drinking at a very early age, at 13, 14. I can remember after a basketball game and going to my mate's place and and then my dad having to come to pick me up afterwards, and I'm sliding down the wall because I couldn't stand upright anymore. We got stuck into the Lion Red crate, and I just, as soon as I tasted booze, I was home. That's what it felt like. It kind of sated all my feelings of insecurity, my feelings of not matching up to where I thought I needed to be. Just really didn't think a lot of myself. And but drinking alcohol took it away. Suddenly I was the life of the party, the joker, the I could tell the stories, I could have fun with everybody. And a little bit like what James shared, it was great. It was actually great until it wasn't. Mm. And the problem was the until it wasn't happened almost every night I started drinking. Because then it wasn't great, because then I got angry and a very balanced personality I was, chip on both shoulders. So in the end, getting drunk often that came out. And an aggression against the world. So my last drunk was December. And it was going out with the work do and the euphoria before that, because obviously being an alkie, I was the one that organised the work do, made sure there was enough booze to cover everybody else's needs and then doubled it for me. And and it just turned to custard. Wound up getting arrested again, and wound up having a court order saying I can't go near my family and I can't do this and I can't do that. Almost lost my job. And it was, why do you have to go so low before you see it? I actually saw it way earlier. I realised I had a problem drinking, but I thought it was everybody else's fault. I blamed everybody else. So when I went out drinking, it was the poor me's. Pour me another drink, because then I'll be right. And unfortunately it took us to a very low point. It was Christmas time. I couldn't see, wasn't allowed to see my own kids, couldn't go in my own house. Couldn't, and that's another one of the issues that I have. I'm a bit of a control freak. I like to be in command. Everyone will do it my way, whether it's growing up in a family where my dad was definitely a drunk. Bless him, he went through World War II and the dramas that they had to put up with, and he never had the solution that I found. And I just, I seemed to replicate him. In actual fact, on that last drunk, when I got let out of Central, and allowed to go, I still had a credit card, thank goodness. I was able to get in a motel, and I was able to bawl my eyes out in front of a mirror, seeing that my father's reflection was coming back at me. And that was of a man that I swore as a 10-year-old I would never be like. In actual fact, I was worse. But the good part of that story is that it forced me to do something, and I rang the 0800 number, 0800 AA Works, and I found a solution on the end of the line. I thought it was a great idea that day because I was very low, shall we say, and the gentleman on the end of the line kept me talking. Otherwise, I thought going for a swim across Evans Bay was a pretty damn good idea, you know, because you'll all miss me when I'm gone. I don't think anyone actually cared at that point whether I was there or not, because it was pretty, it was pretty bad behaviour and things. Anyway, so I got on the end of the phone a bloke who kept me talking, and he was able to get someone else to come and see me. And my experience was that this bloke came along, and I didn't believe in God at all. This is not a religious program. It's not at all. It's a spirituality, and I now believe there is a God, because the guy that came to visit me, he was ex-maritime, like myself, and he told me a story that I just went, how does he know all this stuff about me? Mm. How does he know about the way I felt? How does he know probably why I was doing stuff and things? And he kept me talking. At the end of it, he said to me, why don't you give this AA thing a bit of a go? And if you don't like it, you can have your old misery back. And I was miserable. I was miserable. I was perfect for coming into AA because nothing else in life was going right. Nothing. And the solution was to kill myself. So, yeah, I did. I took him up on that. He saw something in me. He saw I could make a promise to do it for 3 months. And it only actually took one meeting. And I went to this meeting, and I'm absolutely miserable, almost in tears in front of the whole pile of people, which, by the way, I don't do. These people were laughing, having fun, and they were talking about the way I felt, but all they were doing was telling their story and their experience and things. And I saw that there was a solution, and someone told me, you know, just keep coming back, just go to another one. Even if I didn't like the people at that meeting, just go to another one, it doesn't matter. And I've done that for I'll be 25 years next month. And I've stayed sober that time. I haven't stayed sane, but I've stayed sober. And that's been a real experience. Long story short, I did get my family back. It took me a year to do that. I think I got the respect of my kids back, the kids that were afraid of me. I got, more importantly, that is a really important thing to me, but more importantly, I got my own self-respect back. Mm. And it was huge. It changed my life because I thought I'd turned into the person that I swore I would never be. And I'm not perfect. There's no way, and it's been shared, you know. You go up and down. Life is a roller coaster. And it's hard to keep practicing all the things I know I should. But if I keep going to meetings, I stay in touch, I stay on the program, I keep talking to people who are trying to travel the same journey, and I've made lots of friends within AA. I used to think, when I was drinking, what's life going to be like not drinking? I thought, how boring is that? You've got to be kidding me. I haven't got enough hours in the day to fit in what I need to do these days, you know? And the needing to do is about being a good dad, being a good grandfather, being a good husband, being responsible member of society, doing my job to the best of my ability, just trying to be a good human being. That's the difference in Dave from being the selfish architect of his own demise while he was drinking. Because the only person that I ever thought of was Dave. I didn't think of anyone else. They didn't matter in life. It's been an experience. It's been... it's something I hope never changes. But I also know that I've got to keep coming to the meetings. I think I've got on top of the alcohol. Don't believe I've got on top of the ism, and that's why I keep coming to AA. And that's why I'll keep coming to AA, because I need to, I know. As has been said, the people that go out and unfortunately drink again, and often they pass away when they do that. Now, I don't want to die today, tomorrow, or in the near future. The things I've got being sober, particularly my grandkids, are just massive. You know, who would have thought that day I was going to go for a long swim, that 25 years later I would have 11 grandkids? That's just unbelievable. and the joy that they bring me in life. And life is good. It really is. Life is fun. It's not what I thought it was going to be. I'm running out of things to talk about. So, yeah. What else do we do at meetings? It's just, yeah, it's a weird phenomenon, just sharing with other people and what that does.
Mm.
I can't explain it, but the fact that I can share my story and then I sit and have tolerance of others and patience to listen to theirs, that works at a meeting. I can't explain it, but it does. I personally think it's the spirituality side. And as per the reading today, that's one of the things that works best for me. And like James said, handing over. It's these little toolbox that we learn at meetings that helps me get through life. And I am going to leave it there. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
You've been listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous Wellington meeting on air on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. And today we've had as our guests here in the studio members of the Miramar Sunday Reflections group. And what you were just mentioning a moment ago, Dave, too, about the making a promise to not to drink for 3 months from coming to the meeting. I've found one thing helpful in AA, well, one of the many, many things helpful in AA is that you don't have to promise to stop drinking forever, or I found even next week or anything. But you can try to stop drinking just for today, and that's been something that I've done myself, is that I just don't have to drink today. And if I can get through today, we'll worry about tomorrow. And today's usually been a lot better a day than yesterday was with drinking. I don't think there's ever really been, I can't remember a good day drinking in my own experience, but there's plenty of good days not drinking. And so we are coming towards the end of this meeting on air. Could I ask Layla, please, to read the promises?
Sure. The AA promises. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them.
Thanks, Layla. And just before we close, just to remind you, this is the Alcoholics Anonymous meetings on air on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, and you can contact AA on our phone number 0800 AA Works, which is 0800 229 6757. That's 0800 229 6757. And the AA website, which is aa.org.nz, which has an enormous amount of material that both alcoholics and family members of alcoholics, or anybody who thinks they may be alcoholic or wants to help alcoholics, can get information from. Right, and as is traditional with AA, we'd close with this meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God.
God.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.